Previously on Thomas and the Bible, well, it was Jeremiah, and I did some research for y'alls just to make sure that we're not missing anything, and it turns out, no, we're not missing anything. Jeremiah just prophecies about the destruction of the Jews, and, you know, that happens, and guess what? It's their fault. I don't know if you knew all that, but they're bad, so destruction, and that's it. That's really it. There's no... Okay. Thanks, Harley, for that intro. Yeah, I'm having to record this a bit early, and because of scheduling stuff this week for me. Tough week. And so I was thinking I will probably just release this early to patrons. So if you're hearing this super early, it's because you are an amazing individual who supports me on Patreon, and I really appreciate it. So thank you. And if you're hearing this on time, you're all right. You know, you're okay. You could always become amazing by going to patreon.com/TNTheB, all one word. And supporting the show. I'd really appreciate it. So thank you. Okay, so we're on Jeremiah 43 through 47 today. It sounds like a lot, but I think one of the chapters is really short, so maybe we'll be fine. And like I said, I mean, I want to make sure it's been a while since I've done a lot of research on what I'm reading because it's so repetitive. So I just wanted to make sure I'm not missing anything. And I read a few sources of commentary on Jeremiah, and turns out we're not missing anything, like I said in the intro. So, or like Harley said, rather. Yeah, we're really not missing much. Jeremiah just prophesies the destruction of Israel, of Judah, and all that. And it happens. And you know, Nebuchadnezzar/Nebuchadrezzar comes and takes over, and that happens. And then it sounds like the rest of it's just going to be prophecies about other lands that are going to be destroyed. So buckle up, guys, for an exciting thrill ride as we near the conclusion. We're nearing the conclusion of Jeremiah. We're not quite there yet, but we're very close. Okay. And it came to pass, ding, check that one. Oh, someone said that the guy, the Book of Mormon guy, does and it came to pass like drinking game. So that's really funny. I mean, great minds, I guess. I haven't listened to his show because I one day am going to cover the Book of Mormon myself, I think. So I didn't know that. But probably seems like I ripped him off. Although I didn't really say that. I just made a guess as to the count. What was my guess? Anyone? What was it? Did anyone look that up? Someone looked that up. What the hell was it? Let's see if I have it here. Oh, yeah. I'm going for 2,150. That's my guess on the came to pass. It came to pass count. Soon as someone wants to do that research, let me know. It probably wouldn't be that hard. Maybe I'll do it eventually, but I haven't gotten around to it. Okay. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words. Then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan. Oh, also, Marcel, I believe, pointed out that son of is just like saying someone's last name. So thanks for trying your best to ruin my joke premise, Marcel. I really appreciate when people try to ruin my jokes. No, you're right. Yeah, no, that makes sense, that, son of soon morphed into, to the last name, but, still don't care. Still don't need to know. And I don't need to, not only do I not need to know the son of, I don't need to know the son of, son of, like when they do more than one, really don't, I don't even need to know anyone's name. Does it matter? Just pick major characters, first names, make it easy on us. And I don't need so many characters. I mean, I'm speaking as though from the idea that someone was going to write a good book, Marcel. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know if that enlightens, you know, that makes things a little clearer. But if someone was going to write a good book, they would have not 40,000 different characters, who most of whom don't do anything. It doesn't matter, and you don't need to know their names. You'd have, you know, you might go George R. R. Martin and have a lot of characters, but you know, you can keep track of them. Things happen. They do things. They're interesting. They say things. In this book, it's none of that. None of that happens. But anyway, Son of Uzziah and Johanan and the son of Kareah and all the proud men saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children, the king's daughters and all the king's horses and all the king's men. Couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. And every person that Nebuzaradan, this is another guy now, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tahpenes. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tahpenes, saying, take great stones in thine hand and hide them in the clay in the brick kiln, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in the Tahpenes, in the sight of the men of Judah. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stories that I have hid. And he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as are for the death to death, and such as are for the captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. Is that different than the death? So he's going to put people to death who need to be put to death. He's going to take people captive who need to be taken captive. And then he's going to put to the sword those, because is that a different category? I thought putting someone to the sword means death, really. Like, what is the difference there? I don't know. Are they doing lethal injection the first time? Is that what it is? And I will kindle a fire with my kindle fire. We'll kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives. And he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth-Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. On to 44. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol and at Tahpenes and at Naph in the country of Pathros, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth, and was kindled at the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as this day. Therefore, now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that ye provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and the wicked witch of the east and your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even unto this day. Neither have they feared nor walked in my law nor my statutes that I set before you and behold before your fathers. Thus, therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, of the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and cut off all Judah. Oh, again? Wait, still, or is this, if I were in Judah, I'd be like, hey God, I just want to, you know, just to be clear, is this a new thing? Like, is this, cause I thought you had already cut us off several times. Like I remember specifically like 12 times that we were, oh yeah, I'm cutting you off. You're in trouble. So I just want to make sure, is this a new time? Were we back in your good graces? I can't tell. We need like a big scoreboard or something. I don't even know. So is this a new time? So we're again, were we in your good graces and now we're not again for like the 11th, 13th, 15th time, something like that. I just want to know. I mean, you're very, it seems like how many times can we be in your good graces and then be not in your good graces? Good gracious. So just wanting to know. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go in the land of Egypt to sojourn there. And they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest by the sword and by the famine. So and they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. So that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain. What if there were some in Judah that just went to vacation in Egypt? They're like, yeah, no, we're good Jews. We just, you know, we haven't seen Egypt in a while. We're just off to maybe take a summer trip. And God's like, no, all you who sojourn in Egypt shall die. Like, whoa, we just have a summer house here. We're just kind of, you know, I swear we were going to be right back in the land of Judah. You know, we just, you know, we wanted to see the pyramids, you know, it's kind of cool. Just see the sights, you know, I wonder how old the pyramids were back then. Had they even made them? I have no idea. That'd be interesting. You could see some fresh pyramids. None of these old crusty pyramids that we have to see nowadays. It would have been nice, fresh. You could smell them. They just smelled fresh, that new pyramid smell, you know, and the body of the pharaoh inside, you could actually still smell that, so it kind of offsets it a little bit. Now it's all old pyramid smell, but no dead body smell because it's been thousands of years. But back then, oh, you could smell the fresh coat of gold paint and the freshly rotted mummy corpse. You know, of the pharaoh. It was a good time. It was a better time back then. It was good tourism. That Sphinx thing still had its nose, you know, whatever that was. You'd go on, people would take trips. Oh, look, see that nose? Yeah, no, that won't be there in the future. Isn't that neat? How lucky for us that we get to see this big Sphinx thing with its nose on. You know, can we just put a nose back on that thing? I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess it desecrates it or something, or it's changes the course of history, but just fix it. Just fix the nose. So that none of the remnant of Judah, I did cover that they should return to the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there, for none shall return but such as shall escape. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by in a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and we have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, we did make her cakes to worship her. Oh, cake, that's nice. And pour out drink offerings unto her without our men. What then Jeremiah said unto all the people, and to the men, to the women, to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers and your kings and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not unto his mind? I don't know, did it? So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings, because of the abominations which ye have committed. Therefore it is your land a desolation, and in astonishment and a curse, without an inhabitant as at this day. Because ye have burned incense, and because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil happened unto you as this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and unto all the women, ladies, the women specifically, hey, ladies, anyway, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hand. Say, is this some sexual thing? We will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows, and surely perform your vows. Therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escaped the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand mine or theirs. And this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that ye may know that my word shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra. Pharaoh is already a tough one. I mean, we all know, like, oh yeah, that's Pharaoh. But if you actually have to sound it out, P-H-A-R-A-O-H, Pharaoh. What if that was how everybody said it? Yeah, he's the Pharaoh. He's the Pharaoh. Hey, who's the leader of... you mean the Pharaoh? Yeah, the Pharaoh. Anyway, after Pharaoh is Hophra. Pharaohra. Behold, okay, so let's try to read this. Behold, I will give Pharaohra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and in the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, that sought his life. 45, this is the short one. It's literally 5 verses. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch the son of Neriah, and as I always say, if it ain't Baruch the son of Neriah, don't fix it. And when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted will I pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. All right, that was the end of 45. 46 is a little bit longer. Oh, but don't worry, because nothing happens. Jeremiah 46 of the King James Version of the Bible, Earth. I don't know why I said that. Earth, you know, I was going to give a year, but I have no idea what the year is. Anyway, it's the year 500-something BC, I believe. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet. Yeah, the Bible is essentially in real time. I don't know if I've made that joke before, but pretty much in real time. It covers about 10,000 years, and it takes about 10,000 years to read it because it's the boring. It feels like 10,000 years. It's probably only been 50 or 60 years since I started reading it, but feels like 10,000, that's for sure. Against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh, oh, there's another guy, Pharaoh Necho. Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, which Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, smote in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Order ye the buckler and the shield, and draw near to battle. Harness the horses, and get up, ye horsemen, and stand forth with your helmets. Furbish the spears, and put on the brigandines. Wherefore I have seen them dismayed and turned away back, and their mighty ones are beaten down and are fled apace, and look not back, for fear was round about, saith the Lord. Let not the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape, for they shall stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers, as I said. And he saith, I will go up, and I will cover the earth, and I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Come up, ye horses. Oh, come, all ye horses, joyful and triumph. And rage, ye chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and Libyans, and handle the shield, and Lydians, and handle and bend the bow. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, the day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. And the sword shall devour, and shall satiate, and shall be satiate, and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country, fair, by the river Euphrates. Go up into Gilead, and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. The nations have heard of thy shame, and thy cry hath filled the land. For the mighty man hath stumbled against the mighty, and they are fallen both together. The word that the Lord spake to Jeremiah the prophet, now how Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, should come and smite the land of Egypt. Declare ye in Egypt, and publish in Migdol, and publish in Noph, and maybe you should self-publish online, because I've heard that's the way to go now. And in Tephanes, say ye, stand fast and prepare thee, for the sword shall deliver round about thee. Why are thy valiant men swept away? They stood not, because the Lord did drive them. He made many to fall, yea, one fell upon another, and they said, Arise, and let us go again to our own people, and to the land of our nativity from the oppressing sword. They did cry there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He hath passed the time appointed. As I live, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains, and he is, I checked, guys, Tabor is definitely among the mountains. I don't know if anyone knew that, but that's true. And as Carmel by the sea, so shall he come. O thou daughter dwelling in Egypt, furnish thyself to go into captivity, for Noph shall be a waste and desolate without an inhabitant. Egypt is like a very fair heifer, but destruction cometh, and it cometh out of the north. King of the north! Yeah, winter's coming, basically. Also her hired men are in the midst of her like fatted bullocks, for they also are turned back. And are fled away together. They did not stand, because the day of their calamity was come upon them. So, like I said when I summed up at the beginning, this is just a bunch of prophecy of bullshit about other countries and what's going to happen to them. So, yep, that's pretty much it. The voice thereof shall go like a serpent, for they shall march with an army and come against her with axes as hewers of wood. They shall cut down her forest, saith the Lord, though it cannot be searched, because they are more than the grasshoppers and are innumerable. The daughter of Egypt shall be confounded. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saith, Behold, I will punish the multitude of No. Of N-O. That's the name of a place. And Pharaoh in Egypt with their gods and their kings, even Pharaoh and all them that trust in him, and I will deliver them into the hand of those that seek their lives, and into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of his servants, and afterward it shall be inhabited as the days of old, saith the Lord. But fear not thou, O my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save thee from afar off, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return and be in rest and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee, and I will make a full end of all nations whither I have driven thee, but I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure, yet I will not leave thou wholly unpunished. All right, 47. Ooh, it's short. Woo, we're almost done. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines before that Pharaoh smote Gaza. Thus saith the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood. I've said everything before. Does the Lord ever bring any good news? Is it ever any good news? Jesus supposedly brings good news later, but does the Lord ever? It's always bad. It's always like, oh, guess what? The Lord is like, I have a message for the people, Jeremiah. Jeremiah's like, oh, is it that we're all going to get complimentary breakfast? No. Is it, are we all going to get are we going to have a good harvest? Are we going to have peace on earth? Are you going to finally tell us, like, how things work? You know, like science? No, none of that. Oh, okay, because those were fake guesses. Let me guess. Here's my actual guess. Let me guess. War, famine, death. To all those who don't, you know, do exactly what you say. Is that anywhere near? And now no one's given me any hints on this. This is just a pure guess. Is that anywhere near the message you're about to deliver? How did you know? What are you, all knowing like me? But anyway, no, yes, it's going to be death and famine and starvation and more death. So if you could just pass that message on to the people, I'd really appreciate it. You know how I love to deliver messages of famine and death and all that. So, you know, just deliver my message and that'll be that. Okay, thank you. Until next message of famine and death. At the noise of the stamping of the hooves of his strong horses, at the rushing of his chariots, and at the rumbling of his wheels, the fathers shall not look back to their children for feebleness of hands, because the day that cometh to spoil all the Philistines, and to cut off from Tyrus and Zidon every helper that remaineth, for the Lord will spoil the Philistines, the remnant of the country of Kaphtor. Baldness is come upon Gaza, Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long wilt thou cut thyself? O thou sword of the Lord, how long will it be ere thou be kept quiet? I put up thyself unto the scabbard, rest and be still. How can it be quiet, seeing the Lord hath given a charge against Ashkelon and against the seashore? There he hath appointed it. All right, that's the end of our reading. Seemed a little short, but maybe it was because nothing was happening, so I didn't, you know, I'll admit I didn't have that much to offer you guys. But we're pretty close to done. Let me check my book here, my Bible book. I think it's only like 50. Didn't I say Jeremiah was 50 chapter? Oh, no. Okay, it's 51. Can't be that much more than that, right? 52. It's probably 52. That's my guess. Yes. Oh, great. The next book is called The Lamentations, which I was like, oh, Lamentations, that sounds cool, of Jeremiah. So we don't get to, but that's only 5 chapters. Interesting. And then we got some other stuff. So we're pretty, I would say one more episode of Jeremiah, probably maybe one in like 1 1/4, but almost done. So let's see. I should definitely thank some patrons. Let's do this here. I think Michael Mahoney, thank you so much for your recent pledge. Did I thank Richard Newhook and, of course, Harley? Looks like he signed back on. Thank you, Harley. You're the best. Scott Finetti. Did I thank you guys? Erica Mitchell, Amy Callahan, Charles Bangwiener. Okay, I definitely thank Charles Bangwiener, so I don't need to go that far back. But yeah, Amy, I probably thanked Erica. Just maybe I got behind on that. Sorry. And then, of course, I got to thank, as always, Daryl Keyes, who is now the top. Daryl, you are now the top T in the B pledger. Thank you so much. At least not you know, ongoing, but current top pledge, Daryl Keyes. Thank you. Charles Bangweiner, thank you. I hope that's your real name, Bangweiner. John Bodley, Katie Quiznos, Tom Chambers, Marcel, of course. Hey, everybody, check out the Patreon from time to time. Marcel usually has a few good comments on there, and others do, of course, so feel free to interact on that. Jeremy Sharp, Brian Gerfort, Lee Primesberger, John P., David Vandervlies, Travis Peterson, and that's it. Thank you guys so much for being my top patrons. And if you want to support the show but don't have any money, write a review on iTunes. That's always helpful. And especially check out my other projects, Atheistically Speaking, Comedy Shoeshine, Up and Comer. I really encourage you guys to check that out because it's really funny and I'm enjoying it a lot. So just search iTunes for Comedy Shoeshine and leave a review. All right. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you guys next week.